Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Woo! What a show we have today, Jeff. I'll tell you what, all the Fields Fantasy Podcast, of course. Thanks for listening, Terry and Jose, super fans. Get those reviews in. I mean, actually, I haven't checked in a while. I mean, I think we still have the same five reviews on there. But you know what happens, Jeff? When you have 5 stars average, you know, maybe we don't need to get more. So we got a 5-star rating on iTunes. This is the post-Super Bowl show, the post-Super Bowl halftime show, the Seltzer show.
Ooh.
Little tease for that, Jeff. We're not going to go through too much of the game, I don't think, because it's Wednesday when we're recording this. People already know what happened in the big game, but we'll give you our thoughts and stuff like that. But, of course, before we dive into that, we get all the mismoosh in the beginning to talk about, Jeff. More or less, though, got to say, nay, I got to ask, how you doing?
Well, excited to be here. It's another excellent day. Excited to get into the mismoosh, the mismash, the cornucopia of Chantilly cream that we bring on this, the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Follow us at ATF Fantasy on Twitter. We're getting into those doldrums, Will. I mean, free agency is on the horizon, but it's not quite here yet in full force. So a lot of speculation, a lot of we know nothing about anything. But hey, I'm excited to talk about all that and more with you. We got some interesting topics to bring up that I am just rip-raring to go, Will.
Oh, wow. I mean, then let's just, if you're rip-raring, why don't you rip away? Go ahead. Start us off.
Well, as it has been teased several times on the podcast, there was talks of Xbox potential given historical precedent that was set in 2019 at the Taco Bell holiday party. They received an Xbox, whatever the One X, I guess it was. So this year I was thinking, hey, 2021, new year, new promotion. They promised us a special surprise at the end of the year, but obviously with COVID and not being in the office, we couldn't pick this up. And they said, you know, sometime in January, we'll arrange for everyone to come and get their bag and kind of do it safely and all this. And so January came and went. We received, an invitation, a very, I wouldn't say, stealthy or covert invitation for Coffee and Llamas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was essentially a drive-through. You got a bagel, you got coffee, and there was, in fact, a live llama, I guess, which was interesting to look at as you waited in line in your car. And they said as part of this, you'd receive your holiday gift. So I'm sitting in a line of probably 10, 15 cars when I can finally see when the holiday gift bags are being distributed, and I was trying to size them up from afar. I was like, okay, I know that the new Xbox is a little bit more, compact, and what would the size of the box need to be, and the corresponding bag. And then I saw that they're taking these bags like 4 or 5 at a time in each arm, and I'm like, okay, all right, we can temper expectations. Yeah. So. Needless to say, did not get a new Xbox. That's fine. I don't hold the company, accountable for their, preferential treatment of people who worked there, 3 months before I started. I'm not going to hold that against them. I'm not going to hold it against the people who literally have it sitting in their garage right now from previous and won't give it to me. I'm not going to hold that against them, Will. What I did receive was a bag. It was a small gift bag that had very nice things. It had a candy cane. It had a Taco Bell gift card. It had a bag of Taco Bell cheese crisps, and it had a bottle of wine. So can't complain on that front. Little goodies, a $20 Taco Bell gift card. So, that's lasting a while, if I do say. Hitting that value menu up. So all in all, a letdown from the sense that we built it up and that there was, speculation of Xboxes and things of that nature. But all in all, very appreciative to the company as they're listening right now for the gifts that they provided in said bag.
Two questions. First of all, the candy cane. I feel that's a little late for that. Was it a specific style of candy cane, or was it the traditional red and white?
Yeah, red and white. These bags were obviously packed probably end of November, early December. And yeah, I would assume maybe there were even baked goods at some point because the bag felt a little light. But yeah, those had to be removed, obviously, no longer fresh.
And the wine, was this a Taco Bell flavored wine? Does it pair well with a Gordita Crunch, or is it just the bottle of wine?
It was a bottle of wine. The label says S Show on it, with kind of the funny, like, ha ha ha, 2020's been a year, enjoy some wine kind of a thing. There is a Taco Bell wine, though. It's big in Canada. It's like a Pinot Noir. I forget what it is. Like a jalapeno something Pinot Noir.
Oh, my.
All of us are very confused by the flavorings, but apparently people like it up in the Great White North in these winter times to get them through the darkness.
That does not sound too terrible. Good old Pinot Noir. Of course, the jalapeno bouncing out. You know, you got to have it with the red with the meats and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. The ground beef that Taco Bell is, of course, known for. Well, you know what? I'm not disappointed. That was great. Maybe more in the future. Just got to get through 2021, get that vaccine or COVID prevention, and we'll see what the holiday party in 2021 holds for you and the family, Jeff.
Yes.
You know, it's exciting because it can get better.
Nowhere to go but up. Nowhere to go but up.
Because they are listening. I'm very curious by your first bullet point here.
Mm-hmm.
What has brought this up? Please tell myself and the listeners.
Yeah, so essentially, Shay comes to me and says, you know, I was talking with some coworkers, and one thing that one of her good friends and husband had done was rewatch all the Marvel movies in order. Now, I believe that they watched them in the order of release, but if you go on Disney Plus, you can watch them kind of in that order. I guess there were three phases of the Marvel
movie. The way that they want you to watch them or something.
Yeah.
But
they also have it laid out where you can watch it in chronological order. So
yes, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yes. Yes.
So it's not necessarily how they were released to the characters introduced or the things, but it's kind of, you know, from, we just finished Captain America, the First Avenger, which kind of has a really weird ending, but it obviously sets it up for the future, but it was a little rushed in my opinion. And now the second movie is actually Captain Marvel, which I think was the last before the last event, you know, Avengers 3. So interesting. You know, there are definitely some, I've seen them all. Shay has not seen any of the Ant-Man or Doctor Strange or things like that. So those characters were really out of the blue for her when she was watching the Avengers. So excited to get into those. You know, it's obviously going to be a slog. So we'll keep updating you in these doldrums of times here.
I expected it to be, you'd be a lot further along than just, you know, the very first one. I thought maybe you'd done a little bit more.
We started Monday.
Does this involve the TV shows? Do you know? Because there's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and there's like the shows that were on Netflix and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I guess this is just branding.
Yeah, this is all Disney Marvel movies. So no.
Interesting.
No license.
Good luck to that. That is quite a feat you have in front of you. Like the Marvel movies, Captain America: The First Avenger, probably like the worst one out of all of them, to be honest. So
yeah, it's not good. But
speaking to Taco Bell, nowhere to go but up.
Speaking of feet, Will, talk to me about some. I saw the these were IG lives or Instagram stories. Yeah. Shredding some gnar in North Carolina, not something I would have expected. You know, I've heard that some of these back east places have hills that people you'd go up and you'd ride down. But give me the lowdown. It didn't look too bad. I mean, it looked like it to be a snowy day at least.
So I just talked to my mom about this yesterday because Mama Soist, the one who got me into the POW, back in the day.
Oh, wow. There you go.
And now she has no one to go with, so sucks for that. But I planned this all out for, so I've been here in North Carolina for more than 3 years, 3.5 years, and I've never gone snowboarding. I have all my stuff with me still. And last Monday, I saw snow was in the forecast, about 2.5 hours away. Beach Mountain, there, like, it's pretty much on the way to Asheville, but then you cut north, and there's a bunch of resorts. Once you get into the mountains, you know, similar to like Big Bear and Snow Summit, or you know, opposite sides of the mountain in California. This one, multiple mountains, so I decided to hit one up. It's snowing, let's make it happen. And it's one of two things here. It was enjoyable. It was very neat that they have their own brewery on the mountain itself. So whether you're at the base is where the brewery is, and you can chill in there by the fires and have the beers, or if you go to the top of the run, they have another bar which has, again, the local beers as well as a full bar in a like a hut that's heated, and you can look out at the runs, which I think is pretty cool. So that's nice. The not a huge mountain. There's probably only about, if I had to say, 12 to 14 runs. The park, the rails and jumps had left a lot to be desired. But aside from that, I did make the mistake, and I thought I was being good about this. I went when it was snowing, and in theory, that's the best time to go. Mm. You get the pow, you get the just the ambiance, if you will, if I may, of snowboarding. However, since this was my first time at said mountain, I did not know really any of the runs. I did not know where to go. I did not know which lift took you where. So in this snowstorm with snow and limited visibility, I became very lost half the time.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I, in my opinion, I took the same lift probably 6 times because I didn't know where any other lifts were, and I couldn't really see. And I would look at the trail map, and I would say, okay, I'm going to go down, I'm going to cut left, and I'm going to cut left, and I'm going to go down. Well, by the time I get halfway down the trail, I can only see about 50 feet in front of me.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So, yeah, very difficult with that. I mean, I had my legs under me, definitely, you know, it was like riding a bike, as they say. You never forget. Unfortunately, I just did not know my way around, and that kind of impacted my experience. So I was even telling my mom, I was like, as much as it sucks, I think you just gotta go on a clear, sunny day for your first time at a new mountain. Because that way you can just kind of see your way around and get the feels out. But good experience, good times. Cute little town called Banner Elk, which is where
Banner
it is. Very reminiscent,
Elk,
of course, of your Big Bears and stuff like that. Yeah, Banner Elk. And when I drove back home, the next morning, that town, the college that was in that town and all that stuff got shut down. It was such a big snowstorm. So made it out alive. And I think I went, like, honestly, I did go the perfect time. But I will go again. It was not where it was disappointing, and I'd never go back. But definitely wait until it's a sunny day, a bluebird day.
Wow. That is Banner Elk, some Banner Gnar. Yeah, the... To your point, it is kind of a, you know, conundrum going while snowing. I think you need the right type of snow. You need like a very gentle, light snowfall. So it's kind of like the runs are continually being, you know, put back together as they're being used. But you can't get that deep fog, the wind with the snow. I mean, that's just not fun for anyone.
Because of the low visibility. The low visibility, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll just take off my goggles for a little bit. But I couldn't because it was snowing. So it'd be blowing into my face with the goggles off. And I'm like, all right, got to put them back on.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's okay. I would definitely do that again. Jeff, you did write Wes on here. And I mean, I think it's just I don't know people who listen to our podcast that listen to the podcast that we listen to.
Yeah.
But
be honest, this is for you and me, Will. This is our pod. We can do what we want.
This is true. The Around the NFL podcast are biggest influencers and just probably the best podcast, not even sports podcasts around. one of the original four members of that podcast passed away Saturday, right? It was either Friday or Saturday, days before the Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, you sent me the text, and I thought it was just he was in treatment again for his second bout with cancer. And, man, just watching, like, first of all, his age, just unbelievable. Yeah. 46 years old.
Yep.
Insane. And all the tributes that were going around and the pod itself, just listening to it, I even texted you. I was like, man, I don't know if I can listen to it on Sunday. And they did the right thing. I had a feeling they were going to do it. They did not even talk about the Super Bowl. They just went over memories and memories and memories. And just want to acknowledge Christopher Westling. What a great, I mean, just like, and they mentioned it too, Jeff, and I know you'll recognize this, just the transformation he went through, right? Yeah. I mean, you look at the videos of him when he's got, of course, the epic locking it up cry that he had, man, 6 years ago or whatever, and just look at his body.
Yeah.
Just look at him. And somehow he just got, I mean, I don't want to say he got more attractive, but man, does he look good.
Oh, yeah.
With age.
Yeah.
And they make the joke because he met his wife at work, and she's the one who kind of taught him how to dress.
Yep.
But man, I don't know. That pod's never really going to be the same, I guess. And the tributes going around, people writing all over the sports world and seeing it on TV. Rich Eisen kind of interrupted his show to say something. And Connie Fox, Colleen Wolf interrupted the day of the Super Bowl. Like, they are picking who they think is going to win on Sunday, and she just stops and talks about him and starts, like, pretty much crying on the air. Whew.
Yeah.
But best wishes to Lakeisha and their son, who is barely even a year old, if I'm right about that.
Yeah.
That's just so tough, but nothing really else to say. No easy transitions from that.
Yeah.
I mean,
the only things I'll say is, you know, it was even to give people a little bit more context about how shocking it was, is that, I don't know how you felt, Will, but Wes had actually been coming on the podcast and he would do one game when they do their, you know, recap of every single game. He would come on and do, you know, one game. And that kind of led me to believe that, you know, he was in the midst of a battle, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't taking a turn for the worse, if you will. But then I guess things just kind of deteriorated real quickly, and it's super unfortunate. I mean, it's one of those strange things being a human, where I think you put something to this effect on Twitter, Will, where it was like, you've never actually met this person, but you've spent, you know, hundreds of hours with your life listening to them, and you, in a sense, you don't have a relationship with them, but you feel like you know who they are. And you know, to that point, Wes was one of those guys where I loved two things. One, he was like something that I personally aspire to be more like, but I don't know, I definitely am flawed in this way, and that he just lives the DGAF life, and that not like he's a vagrant or whatever, like he's just like a man of honor who truly lives his principles and like doesn't care at all about money or fame or recognition, but just like does what he loves, and has, you could tell that his passion for sports was top tier in an industry that most of the times when I watch people feel like they have a very cursory understanding of, one, football, and two, communication. Wes had mastered that. And I think to your point, like if he had had a face and body for TV, he would have been a superstar, but you know, he wasn't blessed with those gifts. And The second thing along those lines that I'll say is he never had tropey commentary on games. It was literally always well thought out, contrarian at times, but he would, you know, and that's something that I'm not going to say I'm inspired to do it, but I know we try to bring to this show is like, we're not going to be your Stephen A. Smith just getting mad at something we have no idea and like overblowing it just to create a spectacle. It's like he would have well thought out researched rationale with history and context. And that was you know, something sorely lacking, and I think why we are attracted to this podcast. So Wes will be missed, and like you said, the boys will never be the same. So
I honestly could go on, but I mean we could talk about him and the show and all this stuff forever. We really could. But whoever is listening, all 10 of you, 50 of you, 100 of you listening, go look him up on NFL.com or even just listen to the podcast, the Around the NFL podcast, if you can. A couple episodes from the past, years ago, weeks ago, whatever, and just give him a listen or read some of his work. He will be missed, Jeff. All right, let's just transition.
You wrote something. Yeah.
I did.
Musical corner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I feel like this is going to be a very, very music heavy. And coming off the point that I just made about not trying to be tropey, I feel like when we get to our second segment about music, I'm going to have to pull some tropes because I'm not going to say I did a lot of research in that section. But you wrote Band with Multiple Bangers. Okay. Give me this, Will. Throw it at me.
So it's about the next segment. I was doing research about, you know, what would make a good halftime show in the Super Bowl. We'll get to that again, but it doesn't have to be – I was trying to think, do they have to be a good live performer or do they just need to have good bangers, right? Like songs that you know that you could listen to five of them and just scream them and yell them. Not scream as in the screaming sense, but just sing them and yell them and dance to them or whatever. And – I was looking at ones who've never been at the halftime show, and this band is not the best live band. I've seen them twice. Again, not the best, but I was kind of doing some research, and I want you to say this band right now and tell me what you think.
Say
okay,
it.
This is kind of a throwback, but also still making music somehow. Fall Out Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I, again, just doing research, and over the weekend, we had a couple friends come over, and they saw that we had Rock Band, and we haven't played that in, you know, years, or, well, not years, in, like, months. But Ashley loves it because it's karaoke. It's a karaoke machine. That's all
it is.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
And we're scrolling through the songs, and her friend Kayla goes, oh, and there's been drinks involved. She just starts yelling, Fall Out Boy! And she just wants to play every song. And we're playing them, and I'm like, God, this is a good song. Like, I'm just thinking in my head, like... And this is from Under the Cork Tree, by the way. Like, this is a little less 16 candles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm listening to that, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is a great song.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Like, sorry. So, doing research about this big game halftime show, we're about to lead into it, but I want to know what your opinion. Would you rather have an energized halftime show where, you know, they have one or two hits – but they're just really good performers, or would you rather have a band or a musical entity play that has six certified number one platinum hits playing, regardless of how they play them?
Hmm. That's a,
and we're going to have a couple of those. We're going to have a couple of those on this list.
Okay, first, I guess, to the Fall Out Boy point, you know, I got to have to revisit the catalog, but just think, you know, going off what you've said, Dave, it's just energized some juices in me to get those bangers out here.
Oh,
but I honestly, like, they, from my perspective, wouldn't, maybe when we're like 45, they'll be good, because then they'll be like classic rock at that point, and everyone who's like within 10 years of our age will remember all the bangers. I just think it's not going to resonate with an older audience, and not that The Weeknd did, but I mean... I don't know. I'm not, listen.
I'm not here saying Fall Out Boy for the halftime. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get
I'm
what
just saying.
You're talking more the philosophy.
Yes, yes. The music choice. I mean, they had Maroon 5, right? And that they have multiple bangers, but it was a letdown of a show, right? And
yeah.
So it is that's kind of the antithesis of what I just said. So no, I'm not saying let's do Fall Out Boy next year. Yes, the 40 and up crowd not going to be totally into them.
They're not going down in the early round. It's tough. I would lean towards just, you know, the more bangers with a good show. I think we'll get into this with our weekend halftime show review. Like, that was just a bit too much because there was so much spectacle that took away from the performance. And
All right, enough teasing. There's my Fallout Boy. There's my Fallout Boy. Tons of banger. Let's just get into it, Jeff.
Hold on.
Weekend.
Can I make a – I want to make a statement on who I think should do the halftime show. Ooh. And I think that we are both, you know, fans, or at least have seen – this artist live, and that is Ariana Grande. Put on an show. She's got spectacles, she's got the bangers, just get her on there already. What are we doing? What are we messing around with the weekend?
What is the hold up?
Come on.
I mean, I would go to the Super Bowl.
Oh. If she was showing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the pipes, show the world the pipes you have. Oh my gosh, Jeff, thank you. I'm all in on that one. I think that might be it, because if we look at this list, you'll kind of see there is a it does almost go kind of female male almost in that way. But let's just get to the halftime show first, because I think you have some takes. You might get tropey. We'll go over some of the list, and then we'll just kind of get into the props and gambling and my new bookie, who is an absolute shark. All right, Jeff, lay it on me. The weekend, give me your review.
Well, I don't think this is a fire take. I thought it was absolute hot garbage, but like, some of the visuals were cool, but I can't get behind, and you talked about this, you know, you can't get behind people who sound good in production, but then when they're live, they're trash. And it was a song track. Like, he wasn't singing, which is why you need someone like Ariana Grande who can actually belt it out. Someone like the Gaga who can actually sing, you know, to make this happen. I think one of the concerns we had leading into it, which, you know, if I do have to say something positive about it, was that the transitions were good between some of his songs, where we were a little worried that some of them are snoozers and a little slow. And so I think he did a good job of balancing those out with just, you know, making you go on an acid trip so you forget how slow and you know, sultry the song is. But overall, you know, it was about as it wasn't great. It wasn't. And I heard he spent like $7 million of his own dollars to make it good. It was like there was a fireworks show happening the entire time. I was like, if you were there live, like, what were you watching? It was too much. It was overproduced. I mean, that is his style. And people were saying, like, oh, he's like a cross between Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder. And I was like, well, he can't dance and he can't really sing. I guess his songs are kind of catchy, but get out of here with that. Come on.
I mean, he dressed like he was blind and tried to be like Michael Jackson. First of all, the TV setup we were at wasn't the greatest. It was just, you know, couple 40-inch TVs with TV speakers, so can't really get into the music mix, because apparently people were saying it wasn't great. I don't know, but from our eyes, the people who were there, it did look like he was singing. So you're saying he was lip syncing? To us, it kind of looked like he wasn't lip syncing. But are you here to confirm?
He was singing, but there was like I guess you would call it kind of like a delay with like an echo track behind him also going on, which is, you know, standard, I guess, industry standard for a huge stadium concert.
So with that said, I'm not going to get you kind of covered it. I will just say, if Ashley gave him a 2 out of 10, you know, it's bad, because she was ready for it. She was ready, gave him a 2 out of 10. And I think we don't need to deep dive more into it. But last week we said, had a potential for being really bad, because his songs, while bangers in the word, they were platinum hits. They aren't get up on your feet, get up on the dance floor, as Nelly would say, because they're songs. They're kind of snoozy. And doing my research, the last 15 or so Super Bowl halftime shows, usually the last song is where they go kind of out on a sultry note. We'll get into it. Like Bruno Mars, he ended with Just the Way You Are. Coldplay ended with, although I guess it was a melody with Beyonce and Bruno. It was shoot. What's the song he eventually sang with? It doesn't matter. I'll get to that later. Lady Gaga did like A Million Reasons. Anyway, so just so you know, so McCartney did Let It Be. Oh God, whew, old people's time. So for him, it was funny. He ended with his only upbeat song, which is Blinding Light. Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. He started out super snoozy, and he's like, "All right, guys, time to wake up because we have to go play football." Yes, did not like it, but it's fine. I mean, he, like you said, he spent his own money, and we have to kind of be devil's advocate here. It is COVID. Probably wasn't even allowed to have guest musicians. I mean, we don't know. No fans either, for the most part. He did what he had to do. He did what he could, and good for him. Also, his jacket had 4,000 diamonds on it, so good for him. All right, Jeff. That guy, we kind of already,
good memes.
You know.
Good memes coming out of it. That's all I'll say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, he accomplished that, right? The Where Am I meme.
Yep.
Not going to rank all these, but what I did is kind of – I just kind of separated with who, you know, who was there, who joined him and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I rewatched, I want to say, oh boy, 8 of these.
Wow.
In the last day. Yeah. Okay. By the way, all of them around 13 minutes. It's about 12 to 14 minutes you get, give or take about 30 seconds or so. The shortest one I watched was the 2000 and – oh, I didn't even list it on here. 2001 – was Aerosmith NSYNC.
Oh my God.
Like a Britney Spears guest spot. That was only 11 minutes. But it's like they still fit 5 songs, which is interesting. They still like cram them all. 2004, this is pretty much the fall of halftime. Or sorry, the mountaintop,
yeah,
of halftime shows, which of course ended with the controversial nip slip, which by the way, still on YouTube. Like the whole, you watch the regular show and it still ends the way we watched it. And I do not remember P. Diddy, Nelly, and Kid Rock were all part of this halftime show. Janet Jackson was the headliner, with Timberlake coming out at the very end. Nelly did Hot and Her. Kid Rock did Ba With Da Ba. Wow. And he also did Cowboy. He got 2 songs. P. Diddy did his the song that's with like from Godzilla and on whatever. Oh, yeah, Doesn't matter.
The Led Zeppelin ripoff.
Yeah, I believe so. That was a song. Anyway, it was great. It was really good. Janet Jackson was the worst part of the show. She was, you want to talk about lip syncing.
Yeah.
Anyways, so then that was 2004. From 2005 to 2010, I just category it as old people, because that's what it was. 2004, they got in trouble for the nip slip, so they're like, we're going old. Yep. So it was like Paul McCartney, the Rolling Stones. Prince, you can say, you know, I mean, he's a legend, but still older. Tom Petty, The Who, and Bruce Springsteen. Like, that was all in a row. So, all forgettable, aside from Prince. 2011, they're like, let's go back to the hip. I mean,
that's this what you was bad.
I mean, and this is just a mixture of a bad game. It was this game was the Steelers-Packers. Black Eyed Peas. I mean, forgettable. Slash was a guest. Get out of here with that. 2012, I didn't rewatch that one, by the way, so I did not want to suffer through that. 2012, I did not rewatch this one either, but I do remember it. Madonna, and then somehow LMFAO was part of it, and Nicki Minaj.
That did not age well.
Nope. So 2012, I think they kind of figured out we need to start over. Like, let's restart, and this is when we get into the good. 2013, we had Beyonce, who made the lights go out in the Ravens 49ers Super Bowl. 2014, my personal favorite, spoiler alert, Bruno Mars with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. 2015, Katy Perry and The Shark, Missy Elliott, Lenny Kravitz. 2016, very underrated, Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars and Beyonce. I mean, you're coming back 3 years of the Super Bowl. Pretty good. Good for them, right? They must have been a hit. 2017, Lady Gaga, pretty good. 18, Timberlake, 2019, Maroon 5, and then, I mean, this might be my personal favorite. I've watched this one 3 times in the last 4 days. J-Lo and Shakira absolutely brought the house down last year. And then we have The Weeknd. Jeff, I'm saying Coldplay, by the way, underrated, because I am not a Coldplay fan.
Yeah.
But I rewatched it. This one I watched last night. This is the one where Bruno Mars came out and he sang with Mark Ronson, you know, that Uptown Funk. Not a great – that's the song they ended on, by the way. That's not what I remember. They sang, and then Beyonce comes out with, like, her crew.
Yeah.
And this is the one where they kind of, like, march toward each other and do, like a West Side Story.
Yeah,
I remember dance thing, badass, dude. Yeah. It was. I mean, I'm just watching this, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. Like, I just, I want to get up and dance, even though it's midnight when I'm watching this. So good. And Coldplay, even they were doing their thing in the middle of them, but really good show as well. And Katy Perry, you know what? Wasn't bad either. I mean, I know I just kind of went through all of them, but my personal favorite was the Bruno Mars show back in 2014. That was with the Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl. Yeah. Yuck. Yeah, not great. Jeff.
So if you had to power rank the last five, I think what I'm hearing you say is it's J-Lo, Shakira. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gaga, Timberlake, Maroon 5, Weeknd.
Yeah. Or, okay. Wow, that is where I'd be, I believe. Yeah, Gaga was really good. Timberlake was fine, but like he played you know, that Trolls song. That was like his I'm not a fan of that song, you know, whatever, but he is good. Room 5 bangers, but just a snoozy show. Although they had Travis Scott, Travis Scott and Big Boy.
Oh yeah.
But Gaga was really good. Yeah, she was like flying from the top of the stage and stuff and playing a fake guitar.
There we go. Wow, Will. That is in depth. I appreciate your hustle on that because, man, that's
rewatch the Bruno Mars one.
Okay. With the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, Bruno Mars opens up the show with him just banging on the drums for 3 minutes. Like he's just in the middle of the field doing a little drum solo mixed with what's his big dang it. Oh my gosh. Come on, give me Bruno Mars jam. Song? Come on.
Oh gosh.
Got the trumpets. Love send
No. Bruno Mars songs.
Locked Out of Heaven. Got it. Okay. That was you typing, but Locked Out of Heaven. Anyway, he's doing the drums to that, and he gets pulled back onto the stage, does Locked Out of Heaven, and then he goes into Give It Away Now, and you're like, why is he singing Give It Away? It's because the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Good jam.
That's cool.
Rewatch it. Bruno Mars. Yeah. Showman. A showman's showman.
He's got some bangers, I will say. He has.
Wow, I didn't realize I had way more on this rundown than we. All right, moving on, Jeff. The weekend, thumbs down. There we go.
The game.
I want to get to
thumbs down.
Any gambling props you did? Because I hit on one. I hit on the parlay. Missed out on the tied at halftime. I thought it'd be tied at halftime, and it had its chance. And I also missed out on the Super Bowl squares. I was literally gonna win the Super Bowl squares at halftime until that bogus pass interference call in the end zone. If Tampa Bay would have kicked a field goal to end the half, I would have won, you know, however much money it was, because I had 7 and 6.
Ooh.
And of course, they decided to go for the touchdown, and that's fine. But I got my new bookie. His name is Jason.
Yeah.
He is the commish. Still has not given me my money yet. Not sure what's happening there. So,
ooh.
Jason, calling you out.
Give the man his money. Seltzers. Well, I mean, we don't really need to touch on the game, do we?
That's fine. No,
no one expected. Hey, we've all heard the takes. So, seltzers, though.
Yeah, I'm curious where this is coming in from.
You're pulling some in. You know, there was obviously. I mean, we could tie this into the Super Bowl. Bud Light is like a lemonade seltzer that they're coming now. I mean, there's a lot of seltzers in the game now. A couple others that you did list on there. I mean, we got the Kirkland seltzer from the old Costco, which I think for your money, it's coming in strong. And then this is probably only available in California, but a brewery called Golden Road, they have their own seltzer. Their beers are known for being very fruity. So the fruity seltzer Mango game card. is right in their wheelhouse, which, you know, they're delicious, but they don't, you know, you're looking to get out of seltzer because they're a little lower carb, a little lower calorie, but their flavor is there, but the ABV versus calorie isn't necessarily there for me, so I don't think they would stack up top. Will, you are a connoisseur, a gentleman, a scholar. You wrote down the big dogs, Truly White Claw and BL Seltzer. How do you fall out on this? And I know that there's a city called Ashland, I believe, in North Carolina. Do you guys have Ashland's the Seltzer in North Carolina? I think they're out of San Diego, so I don't know if you guys would have them.
Ashland?
Yeah, Ashland.
I've never heard of Ashland, so maybe you're thinking of Asheville?
Oh, Asheville. Seltzer. Yeah, Asheville. Yeah. I always get it confused. There's an Ashland seltzer, but maybe I was thinking of Asheville, the city.
Yeah, that's probably what you're thinking of. Oh, wow, Ashland seltzer, though. I'm looking at it right now. A lot of owners. Jared Goff.
Yep, Jared Goff. I believe Eric Costin.
Adam Devine, Blake. It's a lot of workaholics are on here. Yep. Jeremy McGrath.
I think Eric Costin's a part of it or something. Oh, Paul Rodriguez.
Really pretty fast. Paul Rodriguez. Yep. Yeah, Cody Bellinger. Wow.
Cody Grover. Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, never heard of them, but I don't know. Oh, they're from St. Archer. Oh, wow. Look at that.
There you go.
No, never heard of it. But there are more. I mean, listen, there's 1,000. Corona has one. Coors has one. There's Bonavive. There's one called Pressed. I don't know if that's anywhere else, but one of our friends, she loves that. They have very unique flavors. I just wrote the ones that are, like, super nationwide. Bud Light Seltzer's nasty. I've had it. Yes. I don't know if you have.
Never had this.
I haven't had their new lemonade. I mean, there's truly lemonade. There's White Claw Low-Cal. There's like a pineapple White Claw. It's only 30 calories, but there you go with the ABV. It's only like 3%.
Not worth it.
I have I've gained an appreciation for Truly Lemonade Seltzer. Okay. Mainly because they have a blackberry, Black Cherry, which is just as good as the White Claw Black Cherry. You're looking for the fine line. I think you're going to get that aspartame-y stevia taste, which sometimes doesn't really sit too well on the tongue. But, you know, in the past, I've always been a Mike's Hard Lemonade on a hot summer day guy, you know, and those aren't good for you. So if I'm going to get that kind of taste, I guess the seltzer is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. I like it. A Truly Lemonade. I'll have to try that when I see it in this Pressed seltzer. It seems like a premium brand, maybe only available at your Total Wines, your BevMo's.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it is, where it's from, how often it is. Maybe I'm not even, is that what it's even called? Maybe that's not Press. What it's called. Yeah, that was right. Oh, I nailed it. Press, there you go.
Pineapple.
Enjoy. Basil. Look at their flavors. Yeah, ooh. Pineapple, basil. Very interesting. But yeah, maybe it's available nationwide. Blackberry hibiscus. Elderflower. See, they're going crazy with their flavors.
That is a premium level of flavoring and taste that I don't know.
Blood orange chili. But that's one of her favorites. So, you know, we've tried that. She brings it every time she hangs out with us. And, hey, low-cal, what do they call it?
Low-falutin.
Guilt-free.
There we go. Guilt-free. Love that.
Here we go. Ready? Speaking of being free. Carson Wentz might be free.
Get him on the block.
At some point, after we post this pod, he'll be free. Tons of trade calls. I guess it's between like the Bears and the Colts, I would imagine.
Yeah.
We've kind of talked about it.
That was our curse of the pod last time, if there ever was. We talked about, I think I said he will not be traded, and immediately after, trade rumors started swirling.
I mean, it was the second we hung up the calls. But apparently right now, as of 40 minutes ago, teams unwilling to meet the Eagles' demands for Carson Wentz.
Well, so that salary is not fun. So
apparently Chicago is growing increasingly impatient with the Eagles. So the Colts have asked for a player as well. But Carson Wentz leaving soon. And I wrote down, I mean, Russell Wilson now. People are calling the Seahawks asking about Russell Wilson because he's frustrated with how many times he's been getting hit. Just to kind of bring this to a head about Patrick Mahomes. Remember, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, they were the hot thing back in 2013, 2014, when they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Then the very next year, they went to the Patriots, and they lost in heartbreaking fashion. And it was, it's okay. This team is the Legion of Boom. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson, they're going to be here every year, you know, 5-6 more times. They have not been in the Super Bowl since 2015. They've barely even made it, you know, a deep run in the playoffs since 2015. Patrick Mahomes, not saying he's never going to do it, but people need to kind of calm their expectations. Dan Marino went his second year ever, never went back.
Yep.
So, you know, you can say 7-8 times like Tom Brady, but it's going to take a really, really team effort to get teams back there. So Russell Wilson growing frustrated, and and our guy Marcus Mariota apparently going to be on the move as well. He showed up when Derek Carr got hurt, you know, for like that 1.5 game stretch, and now people are making calls for Mariota. This is going to be insane, Jeff. The quarterbacks, we touched on it last week, but I mean, just let it happen and let's just see where it takes us. Can't wait to see what happens.
Let that Deshaun trade happen, the domino. And then the floodgates will be open. Things will fall into place. The draft, woo! But you brought up another carousel. I mean, we're kind of in circus times here in the doldrums. You're talking about the wide receiver carousel. Big fantasy implications that I think we'll just tease on this pod. Maybe get it to it in future. But I mean, big names. Allen Robinson. He was obviously very frustrated with the quarterback play. Chris Godwin. Not falling out of favor, but kind of just being an ancillary piece on that Bucs receiving attack. Kenny Golladay, the big talent, the big injuries. Juju, what happened to Juju? I mean, good thing he signed all those endorsement deals. And then Will Fuller, the fifth, the ultimate DFS boom or bust player.
I would imagine. I mean, again, we'll once we get more info, once more dominoes fall, we can make more predictions, but. Imagine if Will Fuller went with Deshaun somewhere. Like, imagine if they just both went to the Jets.
That would be...
That would make them instantly watchable. I mean, instant.
Well, just deep bombs with Deshaun scrambling everywhere. You gotta love that.
Yeah, and then you're just on a different team. We'll go into that more. And then also, I mean... We got close, Jeff.
It was close.
Got close, but in our playoff challenge... With FFPC, our new, you know, absolutely favorite fantasy league, our fantasy site. Out of 13,000 entries, Jeff, we finished 667th. Ooh. I mean, I think that is above and beyond expectations there. Just a great job by us co-owning again. I think I feel responsible for getting us to have Tom Brady, which obviously was the big win there, but yep. I also feel responsible for us having David Montgomery.
It's all right.
So, equal ways. We finished with 485 points, as I wrote here. First place, I mean, 540. So, we picked two other players, and that's where we are.
Yeah.
If and we then would have had Kamara,
would we have? Higher?
I don't know, because okay. At that point we're just maybe having the same players. I'm thinking more like I wrote Jonathan Taylor, the one and done guys.
Yeah.
Because that would have been less owned than the Kamara. But we were just 19 points behind 300th, which would have been in the money. And if we would have just had Jonathan Taylor instead of David Montgomery, who knows how high we would have been? We would have been at least. There, I think he got like 30 points at least, so we would have been 20 or more up in that spot. But that was incredibly fun, and I can't wait until this next one. I don't know how high we're gonna shoot because we did a $77 buy-in.
Yep.
Last season, where do you think I don't know how to get this out of my mouth.
Sky's the
what
limit.
What are you
baby.
Aiming for?
Sky's the limit. What do you mean? What am I aiming for? Like, did we get it? We got some like coupons or something?
Yeah, they said they're gonna on Friday is when everything gets deposited because okay. I guess the Super Bowl official stats don't come out until tonight or tomorrow.
Got it.
Yeah, so we'll see what's in the account, and I guess we'll go from there.
Let
but
it
yeah,
ride,
I mean, we
baby.
Did a $77 league last year, so
triple digits this year. Let's go.
I mean, we won 200, Jeff. Nice little payout there. The live draft on the pod was great with the mediator, perfect. Joe. I mean, we might run it back.
Oh, yeah. He's got to wear DJ Chark. So.
Jeff, I hate to cut this short, but I do have to run. This was a music pod for the ages.
Oh, yeah.
Fall Out Boy, be damned. No, not. I do not want them for the halftime show. But Ariana Grande. Oh, man.
Oh yeah, bring it to us.
Maybe get her. Maybe get Demi Lovato in there.
Oh
give,
yeah.
Give us some like Disney queens.
Love it.
What a day. What a show. What a Super Bowl. And the doldrums have begun. But we will still be here for you guys. Thanks for listening to the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Rate, review, give us some love
Tell
at the
friend.
Twitter at ATF Fantasy and Yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. Peace out.
Talk to you soon. Peace.